If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19, we are walking as a church through the Bible story by story. One of our emphasis for this calendar year is biblical literacy. We want to make sure that not only does everyone know where their Bible is, but we want you to know what your Bible says. And so we realize the best way to do that is just as a church to read through the scriptures together. And so we have a Bible reading plan called the Bible Story Reading Plan that we've distributed. It's available through the Lone Oak First Baptist Church app, and we are reading story by story, not every verse, but story by story from Genesis to Revelation. And to help support the reading and to teach God's word, we're preaching along with the reading plan. And one of the passages that you're going to encounter this week is 1 Kings chapter 19. And in this passage, you're going to learn about Elijah. He's just had a mountaintop experience. He's faced a threat from an enemy, and now he's in one of the deepest, darkest valleys of his life. And we're going to talk about that today and preach particularly about the theme of Elijah's exhaustion. I want to ask you, have you ever been so tired that you just can't? Have you ever been so tired that you simply could not continue going? And I know that we all get tired. You know, we see the kids and we're like, you know, these kids just have so much more energy than I remember. But I'm talking about a different kind of tired, not just the kind of tired that sleep fixes, but the kind of tired that settles deep into your soul. The kind of exhaustion that no nap, no vacation, no coffee can truly fix. It's the weariness that follows deep discouragement, constant pressure, or unrelenting responsibility. It's a tiredness, and it's when you feel stretched thin, overwhelmed, or unable to see the way forward. What I'm talking about, exhaustion, that is really burnout. It's really burnout. Burnout is a real thing. It's more than just being tired. Tired is something that sleep can fix. Tired is something that rest can fix. Tired is what a quick getaway and retreat can fix. Tired is something that an extra cup of coffee, or five in some of your cases, can get you over. But we're talking about not being tired. What we're looking at today is being exhausted. Exhausted to the point of breaking. This word burnout, we're talking more about in these recent years. We've got such a proliferation of literature on mental health and mental illness, and burnout is one of those subjects that's been around, we're going to see, for many thousands of years, but it's becoming more pronounced and more recognizable, and people that are facing burnout are coming to terms with it. But what is burnout? The American Psychological Association defines burnout as more than tiredness. It's when your body, your mind, your emotions hit a wall, and your attitude and motivation start to slip. So burnout, it's more than just physical. It's more than just mental. It's holistic. It's when your body and your mind and your emotions, and even though the secular association doesn't recognize it, I'm even going to say it's when your spirit is exhausted. It's when you hit a wall. Burnout, according to one other secular health organization, is what happens when stress goes unmanaged. It drains your energy, distances you emotionally, and makes you feel like you're no longer effective at what you're called to do. See, we can have someone, for example, that is tremendously effective in their calling or in their place, but because their stress has been unmanaged, because of the pressures that come into their life, either personally or professionally, they've just find themselves now at a wall. They're so tired, they're so exhausted, they don't know how to move forward, and they feel like they're no longer effective at the one thing that they're called to do. And why is it? It's not because they're just tired, it's because they're burned out. You know, we're living in one of the most exhausted generations ever. You don't have to raise your hand because you're too tired to do it, but are any of you exhausted? You're like, I would raise my hand if I could. We're just exhausted. We're constantly facing stimulants. We're constantly facing interaction. There is just this onslaught of information and demands that are upon us. More than ever before, we can communicate. More than ever before, we can find opportunity. People coming out of COVID not only had their primary employment, but in COVID, so many people started these side hustles to make extra money, and now they're back working their primary employment, and they have all these side jobs, and there's all of these opportunities, and that doesn't even get us into the realm of what it means to be a godly man or woman within the household, or what it looks like to invest in serving. There's no wonder that we're so tired. There's no wonder why we're so exhausted. Statistically, we're living in one of the most exhausted generations in history. Burnout is no longer limited to overworked executives or emergency room nurses. It's in the classroom, it's in the home, it's in the ministry office, and it's around every corner of society. According to the APA, over 50% of U.S. workers say they're burned out, and 42% say it's gotten worse just in the past year. A Deloitte workplace study found that 77% of people have experienced burnout in their current job. Many of them are to the point of quitting. That 77% of people in their current jobs are burned out and they're thinking, I'm just ready to quit. Economically, that would devastate our country if that many people just quit the workforce. Among pastors and ministry leaders, those who are expected to be spiritually and emotionally strong, statistics show that 40% have seriously considered leaving full-time ministry in the last year. I just went to the Southern Baptist Convention. My family and I and Hank Garner and Dan Summerlin and Miss Eileen, we all were all in Dallas for the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we are already, listen, we have a fantastic convention. Things are going really well right now. But as a convention and churches in general, even reaching outside of purely the Southern Baptist Convention, we are at a tremendous deficit of pastors, ministers. I mean, we're in the process right now of seeking out the next children's minister here at Lone Oak First Baptist. Brother John announced his retirement some time ago. We have a committee that's praying and searching, and it's slim pickings out there, as they say. And if we have 42% that in the last year have considered leaving, who's going to pastor our churches? Who's going to take that call at night? Who's going to be at the hospital? Who's going to be giving the counsel? Who's going to stand in the pulpit? Burnout and exhaustion are not fringe experiences. They're everywhere. They're personal, they're painful, and sometimes they even happen after our greatest victory. I don't know that at this point I really need to make much more of an argument for the reality of burnout and exhaustion. I think that there's enough anecdotal evidence within this room. I think there's enough people that could stand up and give a testimony of I'm exhausted to support the need for this message. What does it take to recover from being burned out? That's what we want to look at today. I hope that you will listen in as we consider Elijah's story from 1 Kings chapter 19. Verses 1 through 19, we're going to walk through this passage, three particular points as we consider Elijah, this man who stood boldly on Mount Carmel, called down fire from heaven and watched the prophets of Baal fall before the living God. But in chapter 19, even after a mountaintop victory, after one of the greatest moments in history for the true living God, he crashes and he burns and he's exhausted. And today we want to find out, what does it take to recover from exhaustion and burnout? Here's the first point. Number one, it requires the Lord's provision. It requires the Lord's provision. Are you tuned in with me? I need to know that you're with me today. Because this message could save someone's life. I am thrilled to preach this message. As a matter of fact, this is the second time this exact sermon's been preached here at Lone Oak First Baptist, and it's the fourth time that the message has been preached in my ministry. In January of 2024, I was scheduled to preach this message not long after I got here, and I got sick. And so Hank Garner preached this exact sermon. Before the service, we were talking about whether or not anybody would remember, and Hank said, I doubt it, right? So I want to make sure we remember it this time. Number one, we need the Lord's provision. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Let's read that together. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid, and he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And Elijah lay down and slept under the broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and laid down again. If you can't remember scripture generally, that's an easy passage to remember. He ate and he drank and he lied down again, right? You got it? That's what I'm going to do this afternoon. Verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you.' And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God." So here's the story, here's the picture, here's what's happening. Elijah, over the past chapters in 1 Kings, Elijah has been used by God as a mighty prophet. Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and drought has come and struck the land. People are at the point where they're starving to death. He goes to this widow. This widow has some oil and some flour. She is going to make the last little bit of bread that her and her son are going to eat before they just die. And Elijah says, "I want you to feed me. And I promise you, if you will feed me this last cake, you'll never run out of flour or oil for the remainder of this drought." Imagine the faith that that widow had to exercise. "You want me to look at my starving son who's about to eat the last meal of his life, the last relative I have that I'm charged to care with, and you want me to give you his last meal?" Elijah says, "Do it." Elijah prophesied and it was true. And then the boy died, and Elijah stretched himself out on him and breathed life back into him. The drought's so bad that the king is going to mobilize people to go out and to find any water so that whatever horses and cattle they have left could survive, get just enough water and grass to survive. That's how bad this drought is. While they're out, they find Elijah. Elijah tells this other prophet, "Hey, go get the king." The other prophet says, "The king, if he could find you, would kill you. Why do you want me to get him?" And he said, "It's time for me to show you that Baal is a false god and that my God is the true living God." So they go up on the mountain. They have this epic showdown down on the mountaintop. The prophets of Baal and Elijah, prophet of the true God. And he says, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to see whose God is real. I have two bulls here. I want you to prepare a bull, and then I want you to call down fire. And if you can call down fire, then we'll know that Baal is the true God." So the prophets get together. They prepare the bull as a sacrifice, and they cry out all day long for Baal to send down fire. And if you'll remember the story, it was quite humorous. Elijah's like, "Well, where is Baal? Why is he not doing anything? Is he taking a nap? Maybe he's in the bathroom. Perhaps he went on a journey. Maybe you need to wake him up." And so they start shouting all the more and cutting themselves, and nothing happens. So then Elijah and apparently his servant, they prepare a bull. And just imagine this. Elijah must have been emotionally exhausted from, you know, when you lead and when you're spiritually guiding people, it just wears on your soul. He had been a spiritual leader to that widow and to those. He had put himself out there. Now he's up on a mountaintop. He has a bull. I don't know if you've ever handled cattle, but they're heifers. These are big beast animals. And he, maybe with one other servant, single-handedly slaughters and cuts this thing up into pieces. I mean, could you imagine what it's like to move hundreds of pounds of meat around? Not only that, he dug a ditch. He dug a ditch, he prepared this bull, and then he says, "I'm about to call fire down from heaven, but what I want for you is I want you to get some water, and I want you to pour it over these beasts." Now, could you imagine how much work it would take to get water? Remember, the drought's so bad that the king is sending messengers to different parts of the country to find any water. And now he's saying, I'm going to be such a bold leader. I'm going to tell you, take the little bit of water that you have left and pour it over this sacrifice. Physically, he's exhausted. Emotionally, spiritually, he's really stretching himself. But he calls down fire. After that, he walks down the mountain. He kills all of the prophets of Baal after proving that God is the true God. Following that, he bends down in prayer until God sends rain back on the land. And then he sends Ahab down the mountain in a chariot. God's spirit comes over Elijah. Elijah outruns a chariot going downhill. Miracle. The miracle of speed. He gets down to the bottom. Jezebel, the queen, says, I'm going to kill Elijah. And Elijah gets afraid. The scripture tells us right here. Elijah gets afraid, verse 3, and he runs off. And when he gets off by himself, he says, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to die. This is, my life's over. I'm tired. I'm at the end of myself. I might as well just die. And this is the point where Elijah, as he, at the end of himself, and he simply needs what God can provide, and God gives him rest and resources for his recovery. You know, the Bible tells us many names of God, and one of the names for God is the Lord our provider. The Lord our provider. Scripture tells throughout testimonies of the Lord's provision. In Psalm 3, verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. He provides sustenance. Psalm 4, 8, in peace I lie both. I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He provides safety. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, some of the most powerful verses in Scripture for those that are exhausted. The Scripture says, Jesus speaking, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gently and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Remember, one of the reasons that we're burned out is not just that we're physically tired, it's that our souls are empty. God will provide for us, but let me give you a couple of points on how to access the Lord's provision. You may want to write this down. Number one, how can you access the Lord's provision? Here's the first point. Are you ready? Stop moving. Stop moving. We have a pandemic of workaholism. It's one thing to work to live, and it's entirely different to live to work. We must recover. Listen, we must recover the practice of stopping. We must recover the practice of taking a Sabbath, a day off each week for rest and recovery. Listen, friends, when we talk about Sabbath, when we talk about stopping, when we talk about resting, we're talking about God's design, not an instrument to try to increase church attendance. Listen, I love seeing you at church. I love hugging your necks and talking to you. But more than me loving seeing you at church is me loving what God does in your heart and in your soul, in your spirit, and in your body when you take time to rest. You see, God created us as finite beings, and he designed us to be able to work for a period of time before we eventually stop working to rest. And let me tell you what happens when we rest. Two things happen. On the one hand, what happens is we recover the energy and the strength that we're going to need to conquer the next week of work. But what else happens is that we make a proclamation, a declaration to all of the schedules, all of the demands, all of the responsibilities that you only serve one God and they are not it. But you see, those of you who never take time to stop working, what you're doing is you're communicating whatever it is that you're working for or towards is your God and is your master. And there's a problem with those gods. Those gods cannot restore you or refresh you. They can only take. If you want to access God's provision, you've got to stop moving. And here's another point. There's two ways to access it. One is to stop moving. The second is to receive what the Lord has provided. Here's the reality is that God has provided already what most of us need. He provided rest. He's provided you the opportunity to clock out and to turn off. I know that's a crazy thought for some of you. Clock out and turn off. Can I share with you one of the best things that I've done in my adult life? It's just very personal, but one of the best things I've done in my adult life is this. And I recognize what I'm about to share with you. It may not be possible because some of you are on call with your professions, or maybe you are a caregiver and you need to be available at all times. But one of the best things that I've done in my adult life is I moved my cell phone and my charger out of my bedroom. I don't let my kids keep their devices in their rooms. Why should I be any different? I took my charger and my cell phone that used to stay on my bedside table. Any of you? It was like my alarm clock. And I took it and I put it in our dining room. So it's not even in our common gathering space anymore. And certainly there's days that I have to be on call and I need to have my phone next to me. But most of the time, it's in another room. And listen to the difference that it's made. Now I can rest because no one else is dictating when I go to sleep or when I get up. And what happens when our phone's right next to our bed? I'm not even going to have to explain this one. The alarm goes off. If you aren't already awake, you roll over to turn your alarm off, and automatically that hand comes back to you with the phone in it, and you start doing what? If I'm lying, I'm dying. Am I right? And before you know it, you've wasted 5, 10, 20 of the most precious moments of your day letting someone else dictate your mood, your demeanor. When you decide to put that stuff outside of your room, what you're saying is, I'm going to decide when it gets to have an influence on my life. You're going to rest totally different. Here's another part is nourishment. Eat healthy foods. If you're tired and you want to recover, just absorb what the Lord's already given you. Eat healthy foods and maintain a physical and a spiritual diet. If you don't eat food, do you know what happens to your body? It's going to blow your mind. If you don't eat food, guess what happens? You die. You will stop being. Guess what happens if you don't consume spiritual food? Your spirit will wither and you'll die. One of the reasons that we have so much spiritual anemia within our local churches is because people think that they can survive on one meal a week. Listen, if you only get one spiritual food portion a week, you are going to starve. And that's why some of you have no spiritual maturity or spiritual life, because you're not eating good enough or frequently enough. So we've got to receive the rest the Lord gives us. We have to receive the nourishment the Lord gives us. And we finally need to receive the quiet. Learning how to sit and to listen to the Lord will change your life. If you're going, talking, then perhaps you're not getting the opportunity to listen to what the Lord says. How can we recover from exhaustion? Number one is the Lord's provision. Number two is the Lord's presence. Watch this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 14. This is beautiful. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 14. The scripture says, there Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? If you write in your Bible, that'd be a great phrase to underline. Elijah said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life. Take it away. And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life. to take it away. Alone, Elijah is convinced that he's all alone. In his isolation and in his exhaustion, he's talked himself into a number of things. He's thinking through all these scenarios, many of which aren't true. When you read the context of Scripture, you find out that there are many other prophets, that Elijah's not alone at all, that there are other people. But in his exhaustion, he feels isolated and he feels alone. And watch this powerful question. Watch this powerful question that the Lord speaks to him. He asks this: what are you doing here, Elijah? This incredible question. It's poignant, it's powerful, it's pointed. What are you doing here? We can bring that into the contemporary setting. Let me help you understand. Imagine a situation where you're supposed to be getting rest because you've got to go to work next day or you've got to parent the next day. And rather than sleeping, you're tossing and turning, you're worrying, you're contemplating, you're running through scenarios that may or may not be real. And you could ask, what are you doing here? Is this helping? The only thing you're going to accomplish is being more tired tomorrow when you face whatever you're worried about. What are you doing here? How about that pain or that hurt that you're replaying in your life and you're like, I've been betrayed, I've been devastated, I've been beat up, and you just keep playing it over and over in your mind, and physically you're somewhere, but emotionally you're somewhere else. And the question is, what are you doing here? What are we doing here? Are we healing? Are we helping? What are you doing here? The Scripture tells us that Elijah, watch this, so good. Oh, it's so good. The Scripture tells us that Elijah was standing there. The voice came and said, "Step out, Elijah, into the presence of the Lord." And then watch what happens. Watch what happens. The wind comes. Scripture says it's this powerful wind that's breaking up the rocks, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then it says there's this earthquake, mighty, all of creation shaking, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then it says fire came, this ferocious fire came, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then this small, low whisper came, and it asked the question, "What are you doing, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "It's just me. I'm the only one left. I've tried to serve you. I've been jealous for you. I've been committed to you, but now they want to kill me. Maybe it's just better that they do." But watch this beautiful thing, because when we're exhausted and we feel like we're isolated and we're by ourselves and we're looking for that sign and we're saying, "God, could you just shout to me? Maybe you could send fire, maybe you could send wind, or maybe you could send an earthquake so I know that you're there." Watch what God does. God comes to us in a still, quiet, low whisper. And can I tell you why? Can I tell you why God oftentimes speaks in the whisper and not in the majestic displays? The reason that God speaks in the whisper is because those who are whispering to you are those who are nearest to you. God doesn't have to shout at you because he's not far away. He can whisper to you because he's right there with you. Elijah thought he was all alone, and God whispers to him to tell him, "I'm right here with you, brother." What we need to recover is we need to recover in the presence of God. The Scripture says in Psalms 34, 18 through 19, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Friends, if you are exhausted, if you are in burnout, take advantage of the Lord's provisions, but more than anything, be in the Lord's presence. Here's the third point. What do we need to recover from burnout and exhaustion? And that is the Lord's purpose. If we're going to come out of the valley, if we're going to come out of the tiredness, then we need to know what we're coming out to, what we're coming out for. The scripture tells us in verses 15 through 19, the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall appoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. Listen to this. Elijah was done with everything, but God was not done with him. God had a plan and had a purpose for Elijah's life. And I want to share with you some good news, friends. If you're in this room and you were exhausted and you were burned out, here's some good news. Burnout and exhaustion are not disqualifications in the kingdom of God. God doesn't write us off and put us out in the pasture when we're burned out. He gives us purpose and he gives us life. He gives us meaning because God's not done with us. We were created as finite beings and our limitations are not a surprise to God. He wants for you to have seasons of reaching and he wants you to have seasons of resting. There are seasons where we reach and we grasp for the next level, and there are seasons when we rest so that we can get back out to reaching some more. And God gives us both. The Lord has created us, and he created us in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Friends, the Lord is not surprised when you're tired. And one of the ways that we know he's not surprised is that he has provided for you to be restored. And his presence is with you in restoration. And the reason that we know he does not do away with those of us who get tired and burn out is because we see from the text that God provides a purpose for those that he renews. Are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you burned out? I'm going to invite Brother Mark and the worship team to come up, and I want to share with you one of the reasons that I was so excited to preach this message on January 7th, 2024 is because I burned out. And some of you know this about me, some of you don't. In 2018, my wife and I found out that we were pregnant with our daughter, Jane Kennedy. And soon after that, we were called to serve a different church that was a little bit further away from our families. And then soon after we arrived at that new church setting, we found out that we had a daughter with a significant and a severe medical diagnosis in her brain, and it was going to require an enormous amount of prayer and emotional energy. Our Christian doctor encouraged us to abort the child, but we decided we were just going to pray and trust the Lord to provide. And so we spent several months with our church family and friends and a broader audience just praying for Jane Kennedy's life. We get through the emotional, spiritual tumult of that pregnancy, and then Jane Kennedy is born. She has a brain surgery, which was, I can't imagine how difficult it was for her because I was exhausted. And then we get her home and we're trying to figure out how to parent a child that we still don't know if she'll ever walk or talk or do any of those things. And we're just tired. On top of that, I'm trying to pastor a church, and the church was so gracious and good to me. They gave me as much time off as I wanted, but I wasn't smart enough to accept their offer, so I just kept working, kept preaching week after week. not only were we pastoring and trying to care for our family well, but I was working on a PhD, and all of this came through. We get to the end of 2019, the beginning of 2020, and just like everybody else, we're like, finally, we catch our breath. This is a new moment. This is a new mark. And I'm thinking, we come into 2020, and things are going to be finally coasting. Like, we found our rhythm, and then what happens? COVID. Just when I think we're going to recover, we get hit in the face. You remember COVID, right? In case you don't remember what COVID was like, everybody was everybody's enemy. And if you had an opinion, you were wrong. And if you were the leader of an organization that had an opinion, you were the devil. That sums it up, I think, pretty closely. And there were all of the wonderful controversies. Should we close church or should we not close church? If we reopen church for worship, how close can people sit? If they can sit close or not close, do they wear masks or do they not wear masks? Oh, by the way, are masks the sign of the beast? Forgot that one. Oh, and then what about the vaccines? Do y'all remember the controversy with the vaccines? If you took the vaccine, you were the devil. If you don't take the vaccine, you don't love anybody and you want everybody to die. You remember that? Well, wonderful times. So I got to pastor through that. We're coming out of Jane Kennedy's situation, and then we walk right into COVID, and I thought I was tired until we went through those months of exhausting turmoil. We get to the end of 2020. It seems like sanity is prevailing again. At least we figure out our rhythm, and I'm just exhausted. But you know what I did? I did like some of you do. I decided, even though I was exhausted physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep working harder, and I'm going to wear my tiredness like a badge of honor right here. I'm grinding harder than anyone else is grinding. I'm putting in more hours than anyone else is putting in. I may be tired, but I'm not dead. I can sleep when I'm gone. And I kept pushing and I kept working and I kept going in my own strength. And can I tell you what happened in my life? I burned out. I crashed. And honestly, I burned out far earlier than I accepted it. Everybody around me could see it. My wife could see it. My staff could see it. Some of my friends were like, Scott, you're not in a good place. But I just kept going because I had something to prove to who? And the Lord's like, what are you doing here? But I'll tell you, I got too tired to begin thinking clearly. And I started asking these questions. Watch this. Don't miss this. And I pray me sharing this will save somebody's life today. I was so tired that I started asking, God, what else is there for me? What else is there for me? And can I tell you something? I didn't know it back in 21 or 22. But God started pouring into me. He gave me a chance just to stop moving, to stop working, to sit in quiet. He gave me the opportunity to replenish my soul by reading God's word and by walking in the Spirit and by listening to the Spirit. And eventually, after about a year of restoration, God said, I've got another purpose for you. And her name is Lone Oak First Baptist. Friends, when you're tired, you can't see past where you are. But I want to tell you that your life is worth it and God has a purpose for you. You don't have to be tired always. You don't have to be exhausted. And you certainly don't have to be burned out. So you're going to need to rest. And rest begins and ends with the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you're tired today, I call you to turn to Jesus. If you're weary today, I call you to turn to Jesus. If you're burned out today, I call you to turn to Jesus. Before anybody stands, I want to invite our ministry team. If you're one of the ministers serving in the invitation, either in the main room or in another venue, if you're one of the ministers serving on the invitation, I want to invite you to stand up and to walk to the front right now. Just be present. I want you guys to see. We have men ready for you. If you're on our prayer team here in the main worship center in another venue, if you're on the prayer team today working the altar, would you stand up and would you come forward right now? Men, women. This is what I want you to see, church. And this is why I was so excited to preach this message. You have a church that loves you, that cares for you, and that understands that you're tired and we're here to serve you. So if you are burned out, if you are burning out, or if you're just not sure where to go, this is where you go. After we pray and begin the invitation, I want you to step out. I want you to step forward. I want you to come take me, one of our ministers, one of our prayer team members. Ladies, we have ladies here. Take them by the hand and say, pray for me. We had a young mom in the first service that just came around very late in the invitation. She said, I just need somebody to pray for me. And they got on their knees right there and prayed. Are you tired? Will you turn to Jesus? Stand where you are. Father, thank you for the morning. Lord, this is a very important message because we have men and women who pour their lives into others continually. Lord, and they work hard. In their own strength, they make it a day at a time, but Lord, they need so much more. They need your provision. They need your presence. God, they need your purpose. So Lord, I pray over them. God, whoever it is here that's tired, God, would you give them the courage? I know they don't have the energy, but would you give them the courage to step out and to step forward and just to trust in your providence, to trust in your presence, Lord, and to see something miraculous happen in their life as they finally say, I'm tired and I need help. So, Lord, I pray for your help now during this invitation that we would respond as you've called us to by turning our eyes to Jesus, turning our lives over to Jesus. Lord, make us new again in your name. Amen. The invitation is open. Who needs to respond?